I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. No matter who you're voting for in November, you've got to admit the White House race is red hot right now. And in Black America, well, it's been quite a while since Black folks have been this energized about a presidential campaign. On today's Bloggers Roundtable, we're going to talk about Blacks and the political passion. We're also going to take a look at how that passion has affected the current presidential campaigning in the South, where Blacks make up a large percentage of the electorate. Plus, a golf magazine editor is fired after the picture of a noose is featured on the cover. Joining me now is Amber Nicole. She runs the blog Nicola.com. Also, we have John McCann of the blog Book of John and Ed Brown. His blog is called Dark Star Spouts Off. Amber, John, Ed, everybody, welcome.
Hello. What's up, guys?
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with this one. Let's talk about all the excitement. I want to know if you guys have been feeling it and seeing it and hearing it that's been bubbling up, especially among our folks around this White House race. I mean, it's everywhere I go. Folks are having some intense discussions, some straight-up fights over their favorite candidates. Ed, you're in Maryland, not too far from Baltimore. Are you feeling this there?
I'm starting to feel it, yes, definitely. You know, in my own little circle, people are talking about it more, and definitely on the internet, people are talking about it more, and they're putting their 2 cents worth in.
But it's not just opinion. You know, everybody has an opinion. We all know that. But it seems as if, you know, if you have the wrong opinion, you're in for a problem with people of color on this race. Am I right?
You're right about that. I've written that a few times. It seems to me that if you are against Obama, people are saying that you're a race traitor, which I think is unfair. If you're for Obama, then some people are saying, well, the only reason why you're for him is because you're Black. You know, there's no win here. You can't be for Obama just because you agree with his ideas. You can't be against Obama because you disagree with his ideas. It's just one way or the other, and it's really sad in the way I'm thinking.
Let's go across the country to Seattle. Amber, what are you seeing up there?
You know, it's interesting because one of the things that always cracks me up about the Black community is that we tend to toe the Democrat Party line. And so when we have conversations with each other, I tend to roll with a pretty passionate group of people. And a lot of times people will always make the assumption that you're going to vote for a Democrat. So it always becomes a conversation about, is it Hillary or is it Obama? And, you know, the reality is that there's a lot more across the political spectrum, I think, that needs to be looked at right now. But, you know, I've had knockout, drag down, very loud conversations. In fact, very recently, this past weekend, I was down in Atlanta visiting some friends. And, you know, I mean, we almost got escorted out of the restaurant because we were so loud and passionate about the topic.
Really? You know, John, you're in North Carolina. We're talking about the South. And it would seem that outside of the urban centers of America, and I'm talking now about New York, Chicago, places like that, that the South is really where the rubber hits the road as far as this issue, the passion that Black people have about this campaign, where it really is palpable.
Well, you know, Black people have, I guess the stereotype is that we don't show up and vote. And if Black folks don't show up and vote this time with Obama being in the election, then I don't think we're ever going to vote. I wrote a column recently, and I was speaking favorably of Obama, not endorsing him. But somebody read that column and assumed, because you see my little Black face in the paper and me writing favorably about Obama, that it was my endorsement. So I understand what Brother Ed is talking about. But the thing that I do like about this election is that the Black celebrities, they don't seem to have the burden to say that, hey, because I am a Black celebrity, a Black person in the public eye, that I have to back Obama. Because you look at the brothers Johnson, you know, Magic Johnson, Johnson and Bob Johnson, yep. And you know, here they are throwing their love to Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Now, some might question Bob Johnson with the creator of BET and all those booty shaker movies as not really being a Black man or doing a disservice to Black folks, but give it up to him for stepping out there and saying, hey, I'm feeling Hillary right now.
You know, how much do you think any of this is either A, generational, or B, regional, or 3, gender-based with regard to how folks have become just so hyped up over this? Amber, let me ask you first.
Well, I mean, I think being young myself, I'm 26, I think it's definitely generational to some extent. You know, I mean, my generation, and as a lot of people tend to be pretty disgruntled with the way things are currently going in this country. So if that's not reason enough alone to sort of rally people behind, you know, getting excited, I don't know what is. But to be honest, I don't know if I'm entirely sold on how passionate Black people are right now about voting. I think there's a lot of talk right now, but I don't know. I'm not really sold on it yet.
Well, they're passionate about talking about it. There's
there
no question. Whether that translates.
We'll talk now.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let me move the conversation a little more specific with regard to the election, particularly in the South. There is a term that I believe all three of you are familiar with, and I know that many people in our audience are as well. It's called the Southern Strategy, and it's been employed to varying degrees of success by both the Democratic and Republican parties historically. And what it basically boils down to, and I want to get your take on it, is infusing race in such a way as to make it an advantage to your party. Are you seeing, Ed, signs of the Southern Strategy emerging so far?
Oh, I definitely am. I think that the Clinton campaign has been using a light form of it. They haven't done something like a Sister Soldier or a Willie Horton, but the comments made by, say, Hillary concerning Martin Luther King, she's too smart. Her campaign is too smart. You don't make those sort of comments, you know, off the top of your head without thinking about it. The reference to Obama's drug use and saying, well, he hasn't been vetted, he might be, you know, or alluding that he may be a drug dealer. That type of thing doesn't come out of nowhere. And to a degree, I actually think that maybe it's worked.
Do you?
Yeah, because I think what they're doing is that, you know, Obama's campaign, and I'm not supporting him or whatever. As a matter of fact, I'm independent. But, you know, his campaign has been to rise above race and to try to stick to the issues. And
let me interrupt you to ask this, and I want Amber to chime in. How realistic is that, really, 21st century America to rise above race? Can it be done?
Go ahead. I'll let you go.
Oh, I'm sorry, Amber. Go. I'm sorry. Go.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I think it's somewhat unrealistic. I think that, you know, I mean, the reality is that I think there are some deep-seated issues, not among just white America, quote unquote, but also in Black America. I think there is a lot of conditioning in us to distrust even the fact that someone who is African American could be a strong leader. I've talked to you know, Black friends and so on and so forth who it is an issue for them, and they wouldn't ever come out and say it, but just naturally they're not inclined to vote for Obama just because, you know, in their minds I think that they've been conditioned to think that he couldn't possibly be a good leader. And this is by in no means an endorsement for Obama on my part.
I understand. John, what do you say?
I think it is possible for us to, well, I'll speak for myself. For me, this is not a race issue. You know, I don't like Obama because he's Black. I don't dislike Hillary because she's white. At some point, we got to just sit down and say, hey, listen, what are the issues? Now, Obama is doing a great job of that and not injecting race into the discussion. The problem I'm having is I can't really say that I would say that it's intentional that the Clinton camp is putting these little embers out there to spark a flame. Y'all help me with that one.
Yeah.
I think it's intentional. I mean, you know, the drug dealer comment, again, the drug use and alluding that he's a drug dealer, the comment about Martin Luther King, to me, from what I've read about it, it just seemed out of context and, you know, really unneeded. And then, you know, it goes back to Andrew Young, who basically told Obama, hey, little boy, it's not your time. Sit back and wait.
Well, he didn't say it in those words, but you're right.
He didn't say it.
He said he was too young. He thought he was too young.
But that was my interpretation of it. And that's when I really started to get fired up because I'm thinking, hey, you know, here's a young Black man. He's actually around my age, standing up and, you know, saying, hey, let's do this. It's my turn. And that's where the generational thing comes into play.
Let me ask this. Do either of you feel that in any way Barack Obama has had to pander in order to avoid having the race card used against him in a negative way in terms of his campaigning?
on that one, I'm not too sure, but he used to get some play when he would criticize, you know, the things that are going on wrong in the black community. And I've noticed that that hasn't been spoken about in some time. You know, now it's the split. And I'm troubled by this, really.
Ed, go ahead.
Well, you know, I see it a lot like the whole Tiger Woods situation that we're going to discuss in a minute. I mean, we can't sit here and make this man, Barack Obama, talk about race and make him and assume that he's got, you know, that we can't make him say what we just because we're saying something about race. You know, if he's not feeling that as far as saying, hey, I need to make race an issue, just like the whole Tiger Woods thing, let the man run his race.
How do you feel, Amber?
With that.
How do you see it?
I mean, I actually think the media plays a big part into this. I think that there is an attempt, and, you know, I don't want to make any accusations about the Clinton camp, but I think they're very smart and they're very strategic and they know what they're doing. But I do think that there is a sort of a strategy even among media outlets to sort of bring in race as a divisive factor, because people know that mm-hmm. when you talk about race, it's going to divide people. It's just a fact. It's one of those things that in the workplace, it doesn't matter where you are in a restaurant, if you mm-hmm. bring it up and you start talking about it, it becomes a dividing line. So I think that, you know, I don't care what generation it is. I think that as long as race is part of the conversation, it's going to be very divisive when it comes to talking about this political campaign.
Final question about Barack Obama for today, at least. Analytically looking at this, who do you think or how well do you think Barack Obama will do through the Southern primaries, which begin for the Democrats on Saturday in South Carolina? Ed, you first.
He's going to get blown out. Nevada showed it. He's going to get blown out.
Really? With yes. almost 50% of the vote in South Carolina still, he's going to get blown out?
South Carolina may be different, but when he goes to the rest of the states, the black vote percentage isn't that high. Mm-hmm. He's going to get blown out.
What do you say, Ed?
That was it.
Oh, Ed, I apologize. John, what do you say?
Well, you know, if you guys remember that poll a while back where black folks were saying that, hey, we're going to vote for Hillary because we don't think Obama can win. Now, Obama has a strong showing in Iowa. I have to say I was on the bandwagon, not necessarily endorsing him, but on the bandwagon saying, hey, this guy might be the next president of the United States. Then Hillary makes a comeback. I look for Hillary to come out of South Carolina.
Amber.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the one area that I worried about the most for Obama was the South, to be quite honest, because I think there are a lot of issues down there, and I don't think that they're necessarily ready to elect a black man as president, quite honestly.
All right, well, let's switch topics. The Noose is once again back in the news. The magazine Golf Week printed a picture of a big one on the cover of a recent issue. The caption was, "Caught in a noose." It referenced the Golf Channel television anchor who made an on-air comment in jest about lynching Tiger Woods as the only way for his competitors to stop him. She was suspended for a couple of weeks, and there was a big furor. And then right after that, out comes this magazine. Now, the magazine's editor was fired, and the publication apologized for what it called an error in judgment, although the article inside was meant to explore the controversy. John, it didn't help that there were no blacks on the editorial staff when the decision to run that news was being made. My question, though, is whether that would have made a difference in the end. What do you think?
I don't know. Let me just speak personally. I don't know if having black folks in the newsroom, you know, making a decision about the cover, but what was so bad about the cover? I mean, apart the magazine's and the media's job is to cover what's in the news. So if this noose is so bad, then you're telling me that it's okay to describe the rugged noose around somebody's neck and it's scratching and making you bleed and all this kind of stuff, but I can't show you a picture of it. I mean, if that's the case, we can't watch Roots. We can't do a lot of things that conject or inject certain or invoke certain images. So I think it was a bad move to fire this editor.
What do you think, Ed?
That's a good take. I think it was the right thing to do, even though what, you know, was just said has to make me think some more. But I think it was the right thing to do because you could have put that on there in other ways and gotten a point across. I think the original comment that was made by the sportscaster actually in context wasn't that bad. It wasn't the most appropriate thing to say, but it wasn't bad. I think mm-hmm. the news on the magazine cover took it to another level.
Well, Amber, you know, certain words and symbols are lightning rods. You know, the flag, stars and bars, for example, the N-word. Do you think the noose is right up there with them?
You know, I do. I think that, and it's funny that I'm taking this position because I was one of the people who didn't have a problem with the shock jock, you know,
Don Imus.
Exactly. I didn't have an issue with that. It's interesting that I'm taking this stance, but I do think that it is one of those symbols. I think if you were to throw in something like the swastika or, you know, anything like that on the cover of a magazine in the same similar context, I think that, you know, the Jewish community, for example, would be outraged. And I just think it was a dumb move on their part. I think that in light of the controversy that had already been, you know, started as a result of the comments themselves, I just don't think that it was a wise decision. And I do actually, in this instance, support the fact that this person was asked to leave.
Well, let me come back to you with a follow-up as we bring the conversation to a close. We have less than a minute left. Pushing the envelope is what the media does these days in order to grab attention and audience. But when it goes too far, as Golf Week felt that this did, what do you think the aftermath should be? Is it what is appropriate, Amber? Firing one person, hiring more people of color, staying out of controversy? What?
I think it's political. I think they fire someone to make themselves look good. I don't, you know, necessarily know that you can change what root issues are, and root issues are something that's probably a much bigger conversation that we don't have time to have today.
Well, I appreciate all of you coming on. I have been speaking with Amber Nicole. She runs the blog Nicola.com. She joined me from member station KUOW in Seattle, Washington. Also, John McCann of the blog Book of John. He joined me from member station WUNC in Durham, North Carolina. And Ed Brown. His blog is called Dark Star Spouts Off. He was online from the studios at the Baltimore Sun. Amber, John, Ed, everybody, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for
You're
having me.
You're welcome.
That's our show for today. Thanks for being with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. No spaces, just nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, a look back at tonight's Democratic debate in South Carolina.